Word says about being mean. And not a fun series of messages by any means, but what the Lord has laid on my heart to preach. And there is a reference in Proverbs 22:29 about a man diligent in his business. He'll not stand before kings, and he should not stand before mean men. That's in the way that we use the word mean, and it's not what I mean, or that it's average, okay? But we're talking about what the Bible would describe as cruel. What's the Lord say about being mean? Or to be unkind, or spiteful, or unfair, vicious, or aggressive in behavior. Like I said, it's not something that we would just want to jump right on. Let's take a look and do a good study on that. It is everything related to being mean. Those who are saved have been rescued from that. We've been delivered from that. That is to be for us the past. It's not to be the present. We considered about some reasons why someone would be mean, and there's a lot of sadness and things in there that are just so amongst mankind. They are the root and the cause for many to be mean, but they're not an excuse for being mean, because that which is cruel should not perpetuate. It shouldn't just continue on. We understand that in the last days, it's going to be perilous days. And in 2 Timothy 3, it describes in the first 9 verses about how those perilous times, how men will be, and all those things, that list of descriptors there, are men being mean. It causes us to take a look at the book of Galatians, and that's where I would invite you to turn tonight, Galatians chapter 5. And taking a stronger look in all of my preaching years, as few as they be, 20, something like that, 21, I've never spent time on the works of the flesh from the standpoint of slowing down and taking a look at what they are in such a way. But we see these things all around us. We are subject to be influenced and affected by them, by our old man and by the way of the world. And so taking a look at this subject about what the Lord says about being mean or being cruel or unkind, spiteful or unfair, it necessitates the need for us to take a look at these works of the flesh and break them down and look at them and consider them. And let's read here Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. That's the first that we have looked at: hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. That's where we are tonight, is this of wrath. Strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Before it's over, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at some of the such like too, as ugly as it is. Listen to what the Lord says here. Listen to what the Holy Spirit of God laid upon the Apostle Paul's heart to write in this epistle. He says, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The perpetual doers of these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Brother Bobby led us in a song this evening, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." with the Lord Jesus living within us and the Spirit of God within us, we have new life in Christ. We are subject in regards to the, with regard to the old man and by the way of the old man to dip back in these things. And Lord, help us that we not slide back and dip back into these things, because they are not godly. They do not work the will and the righteousness of the Lord. But if one is found to perpetually be found in these things, they need to consider about the salvation of their own soul, because the doers of these things do not inherit the kingdom of God. With the Lord Jesus Christ living within, we have been saved from these things, not to continue on in these things. And that's just where it's at. Which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So of these, in regards to being mean, hatred, we've taken a look at that. And from that, we took a look at the mockery. I pray that none of us are found ever mocking anyone. Our Lord Jesus was mocked, and it's summarized by what we read in Mark chapter 15. And as they passed by, railed on him, wagging their heads. Someone is doing right. Someone is purporting and putting forth that which is true and right. And one that is a mocker is found railing on them when they are found in a downtrodden situation and position, and says, essentially says, where's all that righteousness that you were claiming before? They railed on Jesus, they wagged their heads, and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days. See, they took what he said and threw it back, as the scripture says, in his teeth. Was what he said true? It sure is. Is he found in a compromised situation? He sure is. But we find out that it's for our sakes, for all who believe's sakes. But found in that compromised situation, you know what they do? They want to press down. They want to press down on that righteousness that he spoke and that he exhibited. They're found mocking. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Isn't that what was said about Christ, that he saved sinners? Well, you're now in this compromised situation. Won't you save yourself? Won't you just save yourself and come down from the cross? See, taking that which is said that is true, but once this person is found compromised, they're found downtrodden in respect to the look of the world, there's pressing on and words of mockery. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves to the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. That's what people had said about Christ. He saved me. He has saved me. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross. Let him come on down, this King. He had admitted to Pilate that he was the King of the Jews. He admitted to Pilate that he is a king indeed, that he is the Messiah of Israel. Let him come down from the cross. They mock him. What he said was true. But being found in this compromised position, they just lay it on thick to run him down with words. That we may see and believe. See, in mockery, there is that element of unbelief and doubt. Don't believe what's been said. They didn't believe it about Christ. Look at him. This man from Galilee claiming to be a prophet? What a joke. And look, we with our cunning and our intrigue, boy, we got him hooked and he's on the cross now. We got the Gentiles to do what we wanted done. We got the Gentiles to meet the death that we wanted met out to him, the worst death listed in our word, our scripture. We got it meted out to this man by cunning, by deceit, by bribery. Let him come down. I tell you what, it's an ugly sight, mockery, isn't it? It's an ugly place. And the people of God don't need to be found there. Let the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. That we may believe. See, that's what folks said. I believe. Peter said, we believe and are sure. And they that were crucified with him, with Jesus, reviled him too. I think mockery is a great manifestation of hatred, and it's where we find such a thing. And then we took a look at variance. We considered about it, contention, debate, strife. Invariance, I've kind of expanded, considered about these different things. I think invariance, there can be an element there of name-calling. You call people names. You know, we have pet names for our children. I know a fella he's got a new job and he's getting a nickname at work. Well, those things happen in fun and in jest. But names that are cruel, names that are derogatory, names that are meant to mock and to deride, we don't need to have any part of that. And consider about who would you dish out name calling to? Any person would be bad. But to call those nearest to us names, by either their name or a name that we would have for them that would be of affection, we shouldn't be involved with name calling. Also, emulations. This is speaking about jealousy and indignation and zeal and heat. It doesn't need to be that way. You know, you see a child when they are just, especially in a word battle or a debate battle, or maybe even a physical struggle that they cannot win, in youth, will resort to name calling because it's the last thing that we've got. And I'm not by any means purporting that children should fight or brawl or that. Emulations. And then wrath. We're here dealing with the subject of wrath. We took a look at Ephesians chapter 4 last time, where it said that we need to let all bitterness and wrath and anger, we need to put that away from us. If we are angry, don't let it turn into wrath. Don't let your anger cause you to sin. And sure, don't let the sun go down on it. That's what the Lord says. We come to Colossians 3 tonight and dealing with this of wrath and that of the way of those who would be mean. And we see this in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you saved? Have you gone so far to declare your salvation to the world as being baptized? Join one of the Lord's churches? Are you saved? Are you risen with Christ? Seek those things which are above. That just left out all the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, didn't it? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Dead to self, alive to Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a hope and a blessedness that is. Mortify. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Put to death fornication in the body, uncleanness in the body. Put to death inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put those things to death. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The judgment is coming upon the dead because of those things. We're not to be involved with those things. And when we become involved with those things, we are to, as the children of God, repent. Repent to our Lord and repent to the one that we've offended in that we have wronged in those things. In the which, verse number 7, ye also walk sometimes, also walk. Do you hear that? Past tense. And those that walk in these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Religion and having everything in its order to where it's seen by men and at the right time and at the right thing, at the right time, say the right thing and do the right thing, that's not how sinners are saved. Sinners are saved by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed life, dead to self, dead to the world, dead to sin, alive in Christ. They're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says, which also you walked in some time when you lived in them, but we're not to live in them now. But now you also put off all these. Put off anger and wrath. Put off malice, blasphemy. Put off filthy communication out of your mouth, name-calling, cursing. Do you curse? Do you swear? Do you take God's name in vain? We're not called to that. We've been saved from that. We've been saved from this filthy conversation, this filthy communication out of our mouth. We've been saved from that. Lie not one to another. We've been saved from lying too, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Jew, Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Christ. What would the Lord do? That's what I need to be doing. It's what the Lord does. That's what I need to do. That's what you are to do. The saved, that's what we are to do. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. This is our new way. That's the reason that the world and those around us come around and they say, when we're saved, they say, what happened to you? Has there been any change? Everything's still the same. What happened to you? You're different. You don't talk the way you used to. You don't have the same attitude that you used to. You're not fierce and vengeful and that like you used to be. What's happened to you? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. And see, that's where all things start, is in the mind. Meekness, that's power under control. You can do it. Just because you can, you don't. You can say it, but just because you can, you don't. Long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. A forgiving heart, a forgiving way and manner. And above all these, put on charity. That's love with legs on it. Wrath is anger with legs on it. Charity is love with legs on it. Action. Anger put into action becomes wrath. Love coming to action is charity. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It is that stickum. Especially here in the church. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, not have a, you know, come and go kind of relationship? No. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. As we preach Sunday, peace and joy are of the Spirit and of the Spirit alone, and that's the only way that a sinner can have peace and joy is by the Lord. To the which also you are called in one body, here's that church context, and be ye thankful. You know, related to these, and I don't have it in my list of things, but murmuring. Are you a good murmurer? Are you good? Are you a pro-murmurer? I can be. It's no good. I don't need to be. We don't need to be murmurers. Look how much we've got. Look how much we've got. And that's just physically. Look at all the spiritual blessings. And I would undertake to be a murmurer? Been rescued, know the Lord, and known by the Lord, and not only saved, but put in one of His churches? And murmur? Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. That's what we need. We need the washing of the water of the word. It's the only way that we can take and displace the way of the old man in our hearts and our lives is by the word of God. We got to be consuming it. And we need it daily, effectual in us. That the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, by Christ. We need to put off wrath, anger, and wrath, along with these other things. In James chapter 1, Brother James, he's a guy that could preach these messages. Amen? Brother James could preach these messages. His book, if you take a look at his epistle here, it's tough. It's got a lot of blessing in it indeed, but the instruction is rough. And you know why that is? It's because we need, as the children of God, to be shown the bare, sober truth about what we've been saved from, what we can backslide into, what we need to stay away from. James chapter 1, verse number 19. Because of what he said before, he starts off verse number 19 with wherefore. Because of this. Okay, he's spoken about sin and temptation, the end of sin and that. Lastly, and then he's speaking about the gifts of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know what? You and I will always do better if we think about what we're going to say before we say it. Brother James speaks to us about the tongue. And boy, it's a bad, bad thing. We've talked about things related to the tongue, right? Our filthy communication that we've been saved from and that can come out of our mouth, and cursing and swearing and taking the Lord's name in vain. And name calling and mockery. We do mockery with the tongue. We need to be listeners of what the Lord says and what's true and right. We need to be slow to speak. I need to be slow to speak. I need to think about what I'm going to say before I say it. And slow to wrath. Don't let anger get out of control. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If you and I are found wrathful, what? The work of God's not being worked. And we're having a meltdown at somebody. The righteousness of God is not being done. Having a meltdown towards somebody, it's not being done. It's not being done. Some would say, well, that's just not practical. In this world, you've got to be tough. Yeah. Tell that to Jesus. Jesus was the toughest of the tough because he took ridicule and shame and contradiction when he didn't have a bit of it coming. And he didn't destroy us all. He would have been just. Those 12 legions of angels that the Lord would have called down, they could have destroyed the world. One brother calculated it up against what the angels did with a perspective population of the world in that day. They could have cleaned up the world in minutes. But Jesus was the strongest of the strong, bearing what he did alone for our sakes. You just got to be tough in this world. Tell you what, you and I need to be tough in the Lord, in a manner of speaking. We need to be strong in the power and the strength of the Lord, the way Christ is and was. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, because of that, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, the abundancy of wickedness in that, and receive with meekness, with self-control, power under control, the engrafted word. Because that's what the Lord has done by His Spirit, is He's taken the Word of God, takes the Word of God, and puts it in us to where it means something. Does the Word of God mean something to you? Grafting. There's a brother that we know of that's since passed on and going on with the Lord. And I was amazed with some of the things that he told about some of the grafting work that he had done with pecans. And you see about some of that on the internet from time to time and how people are able to take and graft in things. You know, we were that dead tree and the Lord gave us life and grafted in the Word unto us by His Spirit. That's a wonderful, wonderful picture, isn't it? To receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people that have gone through the doors of churches and so-called churches, not having the Word of God effectually lighting upon their hearts. They go through emotion. They go through emotion, but it never makes any change in them. We don't need to be that way. We need to be touched. We need to be knowledgeable and doers of the Word, not only hearers. Because in that, if we're hearers only, we're deceived. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, looking in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and then he goes his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets what he looks like. If you and I as a child of God, what's the context of the book of James? Is it written to everybody? It's written to the saved. If you and I don't feed upon the Word of God, we'll forget what kind of person that we are in Christ. And then if we come to a point that we forget what kind of person we are in Christ, then in everything of life that we engage, we'll begin to go back and do the way we used to do from that which we've been saved. We need in this Word. We need to know it, we need to hear it, believe it, know it, and apply it. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, what's the perfect law of liberty? Christ. The good word of God and the narrow way that is Christ that it lays before us. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He won't be up here in verse 20 not working the righteousness of God in wrath or other works of the flesh. But it'll be found out here in verse number 26. I'm sorry, verse 25. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, when faced with the trial and the temptation and the way and the onslaught of this world, and this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, in that he deceiveth his own heart, and that man's religion, his ceremonial observance and worshiping, his vanity is empty. You've got to control your mouth. You've got to not be a mocker. You've got to not be a name caller. You've got to not be a railer. You've got to put forth from our lips and from our mouths and from our hearts and our being what represents Christ always. Otherwise, coming here to church services and putting on a show doesn't do a thing. Because these things are an indication a heart's not right. And the Lord knows when hearts aren't right. The Lord knows. We can fool one another, but none of us are fooling the Lord. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, doesn't have it under control, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is empty, it's vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Here's an example of it. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And you know, usually that verse, when it's quoted, gets stopped right there. It does so even in our thinking. But you know what? There's an and there. What's that and? What's after that and? To keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't forget that one too. Unspotted from the world, that means staying out of these works of the flesh, and that means being in these fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Wrath. We don't need to be party to it. May the Lord help us in these things as a children. It's a wicked, wicked world around us. You know, and if somebody just feeds on network programming, you know what that's going to do? That's going to reinforce every work of the flesh that there is. You know, you tune in to network programming 2, 3, 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. Nothing of the Spirit is getting reinforced there. Nothing. Not a thing. Keep on the network radio 6, 8, 10 hours a day. Nothing. Nothing of the fruit of the Spirit is being reinforced. All reinforced is the work of the flesh, works of the flesh. Beware. Beware. Satan is no dummy when it comes to taking and trying to trip up the Lord's people. And then we've got our old man on our back to boot as the children of God. And we need not to be ignorant of his devices. And we need to be saturated with his word. And applying it, knowing it, and applying it to our lives. And when we think, even the thoughts being brought captive to Christ, when we speak, and when we do, it needs to be as Jesus is doing so. Don't be mean. Don't be mean. Be like Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, this has been somewhat of a message to you, because, you know, sin and depravity and wickedness in which you are bound is ugly. It's bad. It is just terrible. But you know what? There's help and hope for the sinner. There's help and rescue from that and the terribleness of sin and iniquity and the penalty for such. There's a rescue, and it's found in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came, God the Son came, his earthly name given to him by his Father is Jesus, and he lived being penned up for that 33 years, so he's sinless, he's the standard, and he's the Savior, and willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He endured the shame of all of that mockery, false accusation. He bore the sins of his people to that cross, and he willingly paid for them with his body, his blood, and his soul poured out into death. Willingly. And then 3 days and three nights later, after he died and they buried him, because he's God, he took his life back again. He lives forevermore. He died once to never die again. And he has the power, having done so, to take what he did and apply that to a sinner like you. To rescue you. To forgive you. To pay your sin debt. To give you everlasting life. What must you do? There's nothing you can do but do what he said. Repent. Repent before God. Admit before him that you need him. That what he did, you needed it. And believe and trust in him. That what he did there nearly 2,000 years ago, that he did it for you. That he did it for you personally. Believe and trust in him.